I'm going to read from a longer work, as mentioned by Professor Fay. And I'm going to follow just one argument from that paper, from that study, which is following that idea of mine. There are three reading histories that converge in every film adaptation. No? And each adaptation contains and negotiates these three reading histories. So let me begin. Ostensibly, the project of my paper is Adaptation Criticism, which analyzes the adaptation of Rizal, his novel, his biography, and his historical contexts on screen. The phenomenon of adaptation is always instructive because the choices of what texts to adapt and of the mode of adaptation suggests a great deal about a filmmaker's estimation of a given literary or historical work from some temporal distance. That's the first. Second, the presumed understanding of the current target audience. And third, a sense of the various communicative media's role and capacity in Philippine culture as artistic forms. This is especially true of Rizalian adaptations. It is therefore of great significance and interest to address the six adaptations of Rizalian history, biography, and literature on screen during the 1990s, the so-called decade of the centennials of Filipino nationalism, nationhood, and revolution, the decade of Philippine culture, and the centennial of world cinema. The transformation of literature and history from print to screen problematizes the motivations, processes, and implications of adaptation, while adaptation criticism in turn seeks to contribute to the critical tradition which engages Rizal. In 1956, as the Philippines emerged from the ruins of the World War into the Third Republic and marched into a state of new independence, Republic Act No. 1425 was sponsored. This is the so-called Rizal Bill, which institutionalized Rizal in the classroom. And it provided an analog for the first kind of reading which I highlight in my study, no? Which is the regimented reading of Rizal. This kind of reading is aimed at the constancy of reading expectations. So the first is the regimented kind of reading. It aims at the constancy. It tells us that of the timeless lesson supposedly that there in the works and the life of Rizal. So this is embodied in the textbooks. Typical anecdotes that we keep telling. So very interesting, like with Rio Alma's book, and the plenary speech of Ambes Ocampo, they were claiming na hindi Rizal didn't write sa aking mga kababata. So, but this is a kind of thing that we keep teaching the students. It's regimented. There are required textbooks. There are endorsed textbooks. There are ways of reading them highlighted by guide questions in the end of each chapters, etc. No? The other kind is the more polymorphous appropriation of Rizal's life in adaptation in various forms. So this particular kind of reading maintains the historicity and historicalness of the traditions and conventions that influence the meaning of Rizal, in quotation marks. And this comes in many, many forms. TV, comics, coins, names of stores, everything. No? The historical critical reading, which is the third, is a multifarious reading also, which influences, rejects, and or engages the regimented and the adaptive, which are the two other kinds. It is registered also as a history of critical receptions, dynamic in searching for new meanings, such as this conference, for example, and almost always explicitly ideological. So I'd like to show you the first clip. Can we show the first clip? This is from a 1992 TV adaptation of the Noli. I don't know if you still remember it. It was shown in 13 episodes, about 50 minutes each episode on Channel 4, PTV4.
Bayang ko, Giliw, sa pagnanais kong malunasan ang kanser na lumulupig sa iyong katawan, gagayahin ko sila noong araw. Dadalhin kita sa may pinto ng simbahan upang do'y ipamata at ihamot ng dalangin sa mga mananawagan sa Diyos. Para dito, sisikapin kong ilahad ang iyong kalagayan ng buong katotohanan. Sukdulang masadla kami sa kahihiyan sapagkat kami man ang mga anak mo ay nagtataglay ng iyong karupukan.
Allow me to be a little bit more interactive. So, that's the first scene of the 1992 TV adaptation. Are you familiar with the lines being uttered? Who remembers where it's from? I'm sure you do, but can anybody tell me yung bayan ko, Giliw, sa kagustuhan kong ano, ipakita sa lahat ang iyong kalagayan? Who remembers where it's from? Okay, nobody's looking at me. Okay, it's like my classroom. Yeah, it's the dedication of the Noli. So, in the original book, it is a paratext, which means it's not part of the narrative. It is Jose Rizal dedicating the book, diba? And what's interesting in this adaptation, which is here to demonstrate how these three reading histories converge even in one scene, is that the opening scene dissolves the author into a kind of narrator. We assume that it's Rizal on the one hand, but Rizal doesn't talk in Noli, diba? I mean, he's an absent narrator, no? But we assume that the one talking is the narrator and that is Rizal. And the other thing that he does, that Eddie Romero does in his script is, he included some words, like for example, bayan ko, Giliw. Giliw is not in the original Spanish, which suggests another kind of familiarity, diba? We know of Rizal speaking of the motherland as Giliw, and we see this in his other works, except not in that dedication, no? So, and then in Spanish also, he refers to the self, the first person. But here, he says, kami. So, there's that assumption that the viewer will have a limiting standpoint and understand this is a Rizal text, whether or not he is a narrator in the original book or not. No? And if you remember your Noli, it opens with the Capitan Chagos, yung parang feast. But here it opens with something more cinematic and something more quote-unquote universal, no? Yung the humanist idea of the decaying body. So that is what is at work, and I just showed you that to demonstrate how these, at least those two, no? The adaptive and the regimented views are at work. Okay, that was the first adaptation in the decade of the 1990s. Then we see some others, no? Which I call the centennial biopic. Precisely because of the limiting frame of narrative, on the one hand, and the voluminous historical material left by and after Rizal on the other hand, what are illuminated in adaptations are the gaps. So when you narrate the Rizal's life, the problems typically encountered are the gaps. Because diba, we don't have backstory, character motivation, personal history of the other characters. So most of these adaptations, they fill in the gaps. No? So, but what we see are the gaps because you want to dramatize. So in every act of adaptation, one is predisposed to put in sequence the historical records, fill in their gaps, and provide fictional motivations for the kind of character Rizal was. Not from sheer fancy, as the term fictional may suggest, but based on the facts and the givens of the story or the historical records. The impulse to historicize the people, which was initiated by Rizal with the Noli and then the Morga, is the same impulse that now partly or wholly determines the use of Rizal in historical fictions, including historical films. The historical film which adapts the life of Rizal on screen, apart from being fundamentally determined by the limiting frame of narrative, always establishes, affirms, or challenges, as the case may be, the official historical programs on the one hand and the critical Rizalian criticism on the other hand. So I'm sure you've all heard or you're all aware, no, that on the one hand, we always take for granted that Rizal is a national hero. On the other hand, he's critically under fire also. No? Since the 60s, some very well-known historians and critics have questioned, no? Or have revaluated, no? His stature as national hero. So all these registers of the critical reading of Rizal are in the adaptation also. Problema siya ng mga filmmakers. Paano sasagutin yung both Rizal is a national hero, but at the same time, the Constantino and Agoncillo question of hindi siya elite siya, at saka hindi siya revolutionary, etc. So, so the adaptations in the 90s are as follows. The first is, okay, Butch Nalasco's Jose Rizal, Ang Buhay ng Isang Bayani, which is a documentary by Ateneo and Bookmark. It uses a kind of standard storytelling. It's a documentary. It has the voiceover of Juni Gamboa. So, part authoritative, part malambing yung boses ni Juni Gamboa, di ba? Which glosses over all the gaps, no? So, merong all the available pictures and artifacts are shown, and the voiceover, sews together all these images. It is the only adaptation that does, as far as my research is concerned, no, na walang negative criticism, because it's very safe and it's very thorough in the sense that all the materials that are there were tied together. Okay. The next is Rizal sa Dapitan by Tikoy Aguiluz, which demonstrates naman that the problem of the filmmaker to find a specific part of his life that they can adapt given the economic circumstances. So 1997, sadsad ang Philippine cinema, walang pera yung mga producers. No? So, and they chose a specific time in his life, his interlude in Dapitan, which supposedly is easier to produce dahil may drama, may love story, may, diba, may scientific part, may school, everything. No? What's interesting though is that in spite of the smaller scale in Rizal sa Dapitan, what we find is hindi pa din satisfactory yung visualization. No? Kasi it has been mentioned so many times already in the past 2 days that the Dapitan is a very important part in his life because we see him not as a writer, but one who does things, no? Builds a school, a dam, a map, a hospital. No? So, in Dapitan, we see how poorly they were able to mount all these scenes. Kitang-kita natin kung kahit hindi ka nga Pinoy, no? Parang medyo cheap yung quality. No? And the next two films of the decade, of the centennial decade, will show us how the materiality were circumvented. No? On the one hand, we have Jose Rizal by Marilu Diaz-Abaya in 1998, which is the first film of GMA Films. And what they tried to do was put in all the money to equal, supposedly, the stature of Rizal. It cost 80 million, more than 80 million pesos to produce, which at that time was really big. Dahil ang average film produced ay 12 million, malaki na yung perang ginagamit. So 80 million was really big. And it is the, highest grosser of all Rizal films ever made. It starred Cesar Montano, who before that was an action star and started to become a serious actor from then on. And what it tried to do in the end was solve the problem of the critical part and the national hero part. No? By, in the end of it, if you've seen it, at the end of it, Rizal meets Simon in the eve of his death, execution, and iniisip niya, what will happen to me after I die, ganyan. And then, he meets Simon, and Simon tells him, rewrite the end of Philly. And he says, he first resists, and then he rewrites the end of Philly, and he makes the bomb explode. So now, the film gives an answer on the one hand to say, Rizal is actually still our hero, and the other hand, he is not a sissy, parang ganon. He wanted to change. So, but of course, this is fictitious, no? And this is the attempt of a popular medium to address these questions at the same time. The more controversial adaptation which follows this is Mari O'Hara's Sisa, which is packaged as a sex movie starring Gardo Versosa as Rizal and Aya Middel as Sisa. It's a controversial premise that Sisa is a real person, and Rizal met this Sisa and bore her a child, and the child's Basilio. And Basilio is a katipunero. And in the end, Rizal is scared, eve of execution also. And Rizal is concerned about what will happen to him, to his image, whatever, after he dies. And then he meets Basilio. And Basilio tells him, Ama, sa katipunan kayo ang aming bayani. Pinili kayo ng taong bayan. Tapos sabi niya, anak, yan bang gusto mo para sa akin? Hindi po ako ang pumili ang taong bayan. So, these two films try to solve these two issues by creating fictions. No? And of course, very controversial ngayon kay Mari O'Hara that mahirap siyang maswallow. No? among other things. The last of the films from that decade is Bayaning Third World, and I'd like to show a clip, at least a short clip.
Senyor Rizal, malaking karangalan ba sa iyo ang pagiging bayani?
Hindi ko ginusto maging bayani.
Ah, talaga? Kaya ba ganyan ang itsura mo? Ang dungis mong tingnan, hindi ka nag-ahit. Pati costume mo. Hindi ka mukhang Rizal.
Paano kayo nakasisiguro? Kung mag-isa lamang ako tagsusulat, dito sa Europa o saan man, kailangan ba lagi akong postura?
Ba't ka naninigarilyo? Hindi naninigarilyo si Rizal.
Dahil hindi ako si Rizal! Ako'y katang-isip nyo lamang para magkaroon ng saysay ang inyong ginagawang pelikula!
Ito si Rizal. Binuhay ka namin para makilala ka ng gusto. Hindi naninigarilyo si Rizal. Sinulat mo yung kay Blooming Trip.
Nabasa nyo na ang halos lahat ng aking mga sinulat. Halos lahat ng naisulat tungkol sa akin. Ngunit hindi pa rin ninyo ako nakikilala. Sana sinunod yung sinulat ko sa aking pamilya.
Anong sulat yon? Ang dami mong sinulat. Anong volume? Page number?
Ilipin nyo ako sa lupa. Lagyan nyo ng bato at krus sa ibabaw. Ilagay nyo ang aking pangalan, ang araw ng aking kapanganakan, ang araw ng aking kamatayan. Wala nang iba pa! Dahil na anibersaryo!
Pwes, malas ka. Hindi yun ang nangyari. Namatay ka, bayani.
Hindi malas yun. Sinuwerte siya. Dahil kung hindi ka pinatay, tatanda ka lamang. Si Lolo, si Bugnutin, Ulyanin, tulad ni Trining, kinalimutan ang lahat.
Sa halip na the first Filipino,
the great Malayan,
the pride of the Malay race,
hinanap mo. Hindi. Hinanap mo ang kamatayan.
Hindi para maging bayani.
Mababago mo pa bang itinakda ng tadhana?
Mababago pa ang itinakda ng tao.
So this film was made after the decade of the Centennials, 1999. And I think it's the bravest of the films, no? Because the two previous films, they try to solve the problem on the level of the narrative. And here, the premise is there are two filmmakers, they want to make a film about Rizal. And the film is about the making of the film. But the problem is by the end of the film, they can't make a film about Rizal because there are so many questions. So they say, okay, let's not make a film. That's the end of the film, which is a very self-reflexive narrative that says, can we film the life of Rizal? And in the end, what it does to the viewers is ask the viewers so many questions. And I'd like to highlight that, no, because it's beyond the centennial, 1999. And after all the insistence, no, that we should remember Rizal, we should live the life that he supposedly prescribed, etc., here's a film that says, okay, tapos na ang fuss, tapos na ang celebration, what now? No? And it calls the viewers to think. If the two previous films, or practically all the previous films, calls on the viewer to feel, and I think that's very important in the context of the centennial, no? Yung when we celebrate and remember Rizal, we ought to feel something, di ba? Parang, oy, grabe, ito yung buhay na binigay ni Rizal. All the documentaries that you'd see on TV dahil sa 150th birth anniversary niya, di ba? It's all about making us feel this sense of nation, all these things. No? So after the celebration, what now? And this is what Bayaning Third World, I believe, represents. No? It's asking the viewer, so, okay, we've established that he's the hero once again. No? So what now? And what's very interesting, by using a form that questions rather than merely narrates, it presupposes a critical look at Rizal. And what we ought to be careful also, it sounds very irreverent, this scene. And it is actually a very irreverent film, no? Because it begins with, we will question the heroism of Rizal, which was what most critics of the 60s na, hindi pala most, what some critics of the 60s have done. No? But in the end, Mike De Leon reasserts it. Si Rizal ay hindi dapat pagdudahan. So what's very interesting also in Bayaning Third World is that instead of the filmmakers attempting to make a statement on the level of the narrative as if it were telling itself, Mike De Leon was the voice saying, I am Mike De Leon, and I believe that Rizal is a hero. And I can question that and then reaffirm it on, with an autonomous self. In other words, its call to the viewers is, why don't we all reassess Rizal and then come up with our own conclusions again? It wasn't saying na, okay, here's the solution to the problem. So, it was questioned for that and for the same reasons. No? See, in the end, Mike De Leon was saying what everyone else said before, that Rizal was a hero. But I think the film itself in its form merited his final conclusive statement that Rizal was a hero. Okay, what's sad though is that this film practically, was absolutely a flop, a commercial flop. No? It opened on a Wednesday and closed on a Friday. I remember it because I was trying to bring so many people Wednesday, Thursday to the mall, Friday, Saturday, wala na. No? In spite of the fact that Mike De Leon is an important filmmaker in the Philippines and it was recommended by the DEX, no? Obviously, it's very difficult for us to be thinking at the same time as watching a movie. And we prefer a spoon-fed version, no? That everything is solved in the end. So that's the comedic. I just like to wrap up. No? So all these things we see also in the life of Rizal. No? He tries to question in his texts. No? And some of them have that comedic slant to it. Which, when I say comedic, I mean the classical sense of the triumph. We almost always feel that Rizal, in spite of the circumstances, was thinking of some glorious past of the Filipinos from which our destiny can be revived. No? And of course, on the other hand, he's also questioning all these things. Filipino culture itself, no? Hindi lang yung mga colonizers, but the Filipinos. So I think a balance of those ideas we can find in the adaptations. Not in any one particular adaptation, which will have its own problems by degrees. But a balance of it throughout the decade, we'll see how all these are negotiated again and again. And it's very interesting that in the 150th birth anniversary, and dami na namang material actually to study kung paano yung nininegotiate ng bawat attempt to put on TV Rizal, no? Yung hindi masyadong fan yung tunog, or yung masyadong fanatic yung tunog, or yung all these things, diba? Because each work tries to negotiate these three. The regimented, which we're so used to, the adaptive, which must be creative, and the critical, which must not just swallow the answers as is. No? So thank you.